Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Your first mission is to keep yourself happy.
It's living for self that is so exhausting and frustrating because you were made to live for Him. So when you begin to please Him, you begin to thrive. It's not a burden. It's not a duty. It's a joy. I come alive. This is what I was made for.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Heefa! I think that's how you say it. This is Wretched Radio. Sorry if you hear a noise in the background. I'm just waiting for my phone to alert me to let me know when my new Bad Bunny downloads are going to hit. Because, oh, wow! Can't get enough of that. Was that music? Now, you got the Olympics on the one hand. And you've got Andrea Bocelli, whether he was actually singing it or not, that's up for debate. Nessun Dorma, perhaps one of the most beautiful pieces of music ever. Yeah, outside of Christian stuff. Just a gorgeous piece that is so identified with Italy. It's soared. And then in America, at the Super Bowl, you got the Bad Bunny fellow, whose name I don't even know. Couldn't understand a single word that he said, but apparently, actually, I do have my phone. Good thing, because I was sent the text that Donald Trump sent out about this. Now, thankfully, this didn't have any images on it. If you know what I'm... That was a weird deal, too. The president sent out, and by the way, I will be able to stay on one subject for more than 8 seconds today at some point. He sent out a video and it had images that were clearly racist of the Obamas at the very end. He's claiming, I didn't see it. I just watched the first part of it and then sent it out to the world. Well, that's not maybe the most responsible way to send out a video. Nevertheless, he said this about the Bad Bunny business that appeared. Jimmy? Did you watch any of the Super Bowl?
I did.
And
well, you know, the game itself was very, very boring.
It was a dull one.
It was.
And did you watch the Bad Bunny fellow?
I did.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. I did not turn over to some other halftime show like a lot of other people were doing.
No, I couldn't. As soon as those girls appeared, and first of all, the music quality itself, it's like, really? This is passing for popular? This dude is globally loved? I don't get it. It seems so base, so low, so predictable. No singing. Just, you know, the rapping thing sort of in Spanish. But it was when the girls started doing what they did. It just was totally, it was about as low as it could possibly go. It's like, I'm out. And then came back about 10 minutes later. It was still going on. As best I could tell, it was still in Spanish. And there seemed to be some messaging going on that I wasn't quite... I'm sure there's commentators who are dissecting it. That it was saying something about America. I don't know what. But Donald Trump then tweeted thusly, "The Super Bowl halftime show is absolutely terrible. One of the worst ever." Jimmy, are you picking up what he's laying down there?
I understand.
Okay, you're getting it? Okay, good on you. It makes no sense. It's an affront to the greatness of America and doesn't represent our standards of success, creativity, or excellence. Nobody understands a word this guy is saying. Well, people who speak another language do, and the dancing is disgusting. Yeah, it was. That's what it was like. It's like, no mas. I quit. And so we flipped to, I think the Olympics were going on the cable USA channel.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, I'm telling you, that curling. Now that's a sport is what?
Sweeping the floor.
Back to Donald Trump. It was disgusting, especially for young children that are watching from throughout the USA and all over the world. This show is a slap in the face to our country, which is setting new standards and records every single day. And then he launches into, well, typical, you know, cheerleading for how great the country is and the stock market and all of that, which, by the way, did you watch the prayer breakfast? I think it was the 74th prayer breakfast that was held in Washington, D.C. And the president, C-SPAN actually cut it off after an hour and 7 minutes. It was basically a political speech. And every once in a while, he'd look at his teleprompter for the prepared notes about religion. It was just... It was not very disciplined. Jimmy, who won the Super Bowl?
Seattle won.
Yep, you got that right. Now, here's a trick question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Who won the Super Bowl last year?
Yep.
I know this answer. Was it the Rams? Did the Rams win last year?
See, you just made my point. I was actually going. I was going to go back 5 years because I knew who won it 5 years ago. You definitely don't know
the Patriots.
Yeah, probably. They were just winning everything.
Or the Chiefs.
All right, but you don't remember, and that I think is precisely the lesson that we should learn from the Super Bowl. Massive hype, the pinnacle of the most popular sport in America, winning the Super Bowl, getting the ring. Getting a big check, unless, of course, you play the Super Bowl in California and then they take over 50%, not kidding. And does anybody remember it except maybe the people who played in the Super Bowl? Why are you raising your hand?
I just remembered Philadelphia won last year.
Well, good on Sim now there, but I'm okay with that. Because the point is, it's like, whatever. Who does anybody really care at that point? No, I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing. What I am saying is we have a tendency to put an awful lot of attention toward things that simply don't last. If the Super Bowl doesn't resonate for at least a decade or two, why do we spend so much effort chasing after idols? I think the Super Bowl is a wonderful example of how the world and the worldly pursuits that we are so tempted to chase after, vanity, all is vanity. And we inevitably find ourselves disappointed. I got to tell you, I am so digging the book of 1 Peter right now. We're making our way through. First time in 2 weeks, we got to meet face to face. A lot of hugging going on at Alpharetta Bible Church on Sunday. I missed you. It was just 2 weeks where the weather, I know, my northern friends, you scoff at our weather down here because it's nothing. Well, I actually wouldn't argue with you. A lot of times it is kind of a big fat nothing burger, but it does, it just stops everything. Everything closes down. And just so we were for 2 weeks. We were shut down because of snow, ice. There was a cloud in the sky the other week, and that was enough to send the meteorologist into hyperplexia. I don't know if that's a medical term, but everything shuts down. So we were out for 2 weeks. And Jimmy, I actually have a complaint from Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, this is a complaint against Jason. Now, you know how I'd love to sing his praises about how amazing he is in leading our church liturgically, through the regulated principles, the regulated elements of worship. Except for this Sunday. I finished preaching. He steps into the pulpit and he looks at me and says, "We've been waiting 3 weeks for that sermon." And they didn't say it out loud, but I'm a little bit Gnostic. Everybody in the congregation went, "And that's what he was able to deliver after 3 weeks. That was.
And that's what we got.
That's 3 weeks. That was 3 weeks worth of labor right there." First Peter is encouraging us to take our eyes off of the Super Bowl, to refocus and to reframe how we go about the business of thinking about the world and its pursuits. We haven't gotten there yet in our exposition of 1 Peter, but Peter, he addresses the saints in Turkey and he tells them, "Hey, you used to do that stuff. In your ignorance, you did that stuff, sinful stuff. That's behind you now. And he encourages us to just have a different set of priorities, specifically when it comes to the issue of persecution, that God is doing something in it. And the point that I tried to make, although it wasn't really well made even after 3 weeks, the top three ways that the Bible describes God surprisingly are, you remember Gaff? Good, able, faithful. Good, able, faithful. Now, in 1 Peter, he's only talking about the suffering that comes from being a righteous Christian. He's not talking about health issues or just bad money management, whatever it is, employment, frustrations. No, he's talking about you're being persecuted for righteousness' sake. And he makes it clear God is doing something in it. And that's why he's trying to refocus us, because we need to understand that if God is good and he's able and he's faithful and you're getting persecuted, you are suffering for his name's sake. God is good and he's certainly able to stop it and he's faithful to you, then he must be doing something bigger. There must be something more important that he wants for you as opposed to just peace and harmony. Why? Because he's good and he's able and he's faithful. And that's a refocusing that we need. And maybe just maybe that's a lesson we can learn from the Super Bowl at best, because otherwise that thing was a dog's breakfast. This is Wretched Radio.
Here's a question. Do you think like a Christian, or do you just believe like one? See, a lot of evangelicals have accidentally split their brain in two. Faith goes in one box, logic, science, politics, morality, well, that all goes in another. Wretched Worldview endeavors to fix that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand tackle 22 real-world issues through a biblical lens. Wretched Worldview, it's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Okay, so if you admit it, you're like the rest of us. You've got 47 streaming services and you're paying for at least 6 of them. But somehow every night you sit down on the couch and you say, there's nothing to watch. Meanwhile, Fortis Plus is sitting right there for free on your Roku, your Fire TV, Apple TV, Android. Download the Fortis Plus app right now. It is absolutely free. And unlike that true crime documentary that you've watched 3 times at least, it might actually do you some good.
Know your church fathers. Cyprian was a 3rd century theologian from Carthage, North Africa, where he served as bishop until he was beheaded under Emperor Valerian. Cyprian authored a book called On the Unity of the Church, stressing the unity of the universal church as well as the importance and authority of the local church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
If Jimmy would quit talking about the Super Bowl, we could get to it.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Finally, not finally, but we're finally getting to the word on the street, which is Tifa. You say, I don't know what a Tifa is. Well, that probably means you're not a communist. If you recall last week, Hillary Clinton made some waves by writing an article in The Atlantic talking about MAGA's war on empathy, that we hate empathy. Why did she write a 5,000, 6,000 word article on the subject? Because there are those who are saying, conservatives who are saying, you got to watch out with empathy, because empathy is good and it is right, but it can be misplaced and it can overpower right and wrong. In other words, I'm so empathetic, I feel so bad for that criminal, we don't demand justice because I just so relate. Oh, I just feel, and considering the history and the way the person was raised, so let's not sentence him to an appropriate time in prison. That's when empathy goes astray. Hillary Clinton responds and says, that's a war on empathy, and that is a Tifa. You say, what is a Tifa? James Lindsay, writing an extraordinarily long ex post, communist communications since Mao took over China and the CCP before that, follow a formulation called Tifa, which means watchwords or slogans. It's discourse engineering. You take a phrase and you whittle it down to just a few words, sort of like that. What was the girl's name on the thing with the awards? And she about that nobody's free on land that was stolen. Okay, Billie Eilish. I think that's what she said. Nobody's free on land that is stolen. Okay, that's a Tifa. What do you mean? And then who do you? And it becomes very difficult to untangle it. And even if you attempt to do that, you're bad. Why? Because you're arguing against something that's sentimental, that's warm and fuzzy. Now, in his treatment of this subject, talking about Tifa, it's a strategy that communists use. I just went, okay, let's just think through all of the different Tifas that we hear. For instance, love is love, Black Lives Matter, no justice, no peace, silence is violence, equal rights are human rights, all are welcome here, hate has no home here, my body, my choice, reproductive health care is health care. Do you hear it? It's like all of these are like loaded with problems, but if you argue against them, oh, you're not nice, so you lose. In the Christian Post, an article was written about Hillary Clinton and the Tifa business by Josue Sierra. Very helpful. Tifa are thought-terminating cliches. They sound compassionate. They feel righteous, but they smuggle in falsehoods, confusion, ideological commitments that most Christians would reject if stated honestly. So they're smuggling in bad ideas through sympathetic statements that if you don't affirm, you're just a jerk. So trans women are women. No human being is illegal. Short, it feels morally powerful. And it dares you to disagree, because if you disagree, then you're a hater, you're cruel, you lack empathy. The little pithy slogans are very powerful. That you have it for political candidates. They have their little slogan. Marketers, they just work night and day to come up with a slogan that really captures the imagination of people. And that's what happens a lot in the moral and political realm. Little slogans are created. They're short, they're pithy, they're powerful. But in so many instances, they're twisted and they're just plain wrong. Love wins. Protect trans kids. Born this way. You can't erase us. Existence is not a debate. Defund the police. End mass incarceration. All of these slogans, and we can go on and on and on. Healthcare, they TIFA that. Healthcare, not wealth care. Universal healthcare. Now, these are all little slogans that could be put underneath the term TIFA. Back to the Christian Post article. TIFA works in a simple but disruptive way. It uses emotionally charged slogans to confuse moral thinking and corner people into agreement before they've had time to think. It blurs distinctions between compassion and approval. That's a big deal. It's so compassionate that we therefore give approval to the behavior because we're being so compassionate. It confuses love and affirmation, human dignity and moral truth. It rigs the conversation so that you just disagree with it and it sounds wrong. And it was interesting in the James Lindsay treatment and in the Christian Post treatment, they tried to come up with, you know, what do you do with this? So listen carefully, think it through. Yeah, you can do that. What I came up with is ask questions and let them reveal the fallacy of their own TIFA-ing, their own sloganeering. What do you mean by that? Could you explain that? Billie Eilish, what exactly do you mean by that? And apparently what she means is, you people are jerks because you support ICE, even though I live on land that was owned by somebody that I say should have the land now, even though I've got a multi-million dollar mansion sitting on the property. Okay, Billy, what do you mean by that? And perhaps by simply asking smart questions, kind of Greg Kokel style, it might let them reveal for themselves what is wrong with their thinking. What they offer is rhetorical entrapment. You're kind of set on your heels by these things because what they say in six words takes like 5,000 words to explain away. Well, no, you need to understand. Okay, Billy, when it comes to nation, when it comes to people, when it comes to history, when it blah, blah, blah. And the whole time it's like, you're mean. You're a jerk. You don't have empathy. You're not nice. From this article in the Christian Post regarding Hillary Clinton, she insists empathy does not overwhelm our critical thinking or blind us to moral clarity. That's a little lengthier, TIFA, but did you catch all the problems? Empathy does not overwhelm our critical thinking or blind us to moral clarity. But that's exactly the argument. that's exactly the point that many people are making. It can. And you simply need to be careful. It doesn't mean that Christians certainly lack empathy, but we don't let empathy lead the debate or lead the decision-making process. Her assertion is what, just so she's just saying it. It would be like me saying, woke is bad because it's bad. Well, you've said it, but it doesn't mean that you've actually made the point, and neither did Hillary Clinton. But her assertion, this is from the Post, is calculated to avoid even discussing the obvious reality that misdirected empathy routinely produces injustice. And that is TIFA. And that is what it's on billboards. It's on the signs at different rallies. What do you mean by this? I think asking questions might, because again, you just start arguing against it. Love. So somebody says love is love. Well, hold on a second. Are you telling me that we should love the slaughter of puppies? That's some people love that. Okay, just arguing, even though you're right. Just arguing about it makes it seem like, well, you're kind of mean. Don't you want people to love each other? Don't you want people to experience love? Your back is against the wall right out of the gate. So maybe asking questions like, when you say love is love, how do you define love? Do you think that somebody can love a bad thing? Do you think that somebody might be confused in what real love is? What do you think real love is? And do you think just because somebody loves something that they should therefore be allowed to do it? If somebody loves to hit small children on the top of the head with an ironclad skillet, they love it. Do we allow them to do that because love is love? In other words, maybe not defending, maybe not entering into the intricacies, explaining the history of it, but by simply asking smart questions, it might reveal that their thinking is absolutely fallacious and they can actually come to that conclusion all by themselves. Otherwise, you engage and you're looking like a Christian jerk. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.